Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Welcome to it. Tuesday, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, award-winning, dramatic pause, Colton Stowe. We're fired up Tuesday, which means we're closer to Saturday, and we're closer to Friday, because we just got you loaded up for things to do Friday. Of course, Hail Varsity is going to be on the road. We are at the Graduate for a second year. Graduate down there in the Haymarket is phenomenal. They've got the Top Golf Suites. We have the longest drive competition going on. Your chance at Nebraska football tickets against South Alabama. All you got to do is get entered in ESPNLincoln.com. Swing away. And your chance to win Nebraska tickets. Got to reiterate that. Of course, the party of all parties is going to be rocking. Also, in the rail yard, so can log on to Hail Varsity for that info. And you know what? It's a great time of year. It already feels like football season, and it's kind of prediction week as well. And yay or nay, are you a Kirk Herbstreit guy? Let me ask you that as a college football fan. Are you a Nebraska fan out there that is, yeah, I don't mind Herbie? Or are you the guy I see on Facebook that says, well, Herbie's pilot on Nebraska again? And listen, I get it wasn't his finest hour years ago when they were debating the greatest teams of all time. And Nebraska 95 won out, and then Nebraska 71 came in at number two. And he kind of got up and walked off the set. That still sticks in your craw as a Nebraska fan, and I get it. I get it. But I think he's pretty fair. I mean, he wanted to hatchet the quarterback play that you saw Saturday night. Who didn't agree with that? And my, oh, my, how all of a sudden as Nebraska fans, because of the quarterback you have now, thankfully, It's so easy to kind of look down your nose at other teams that don't have one. So we'll get to it. Plenty to get to. We are loaded up. Mitch Sherman going to be with us from The Athletic. And Mitch will join us at 4:25. 5 o'clock, Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet. We've missed Mr. Rick. Get his take on a big weekend of Big Ten and Nebraska, South Alabama. And then we are going to run down, as much as we talk about JoJo Doman's versatility, you've got another guy in that back four that is, you know what, he's set up for a really, really big season at a bunch of different spots, and that is Cam Taylor. We had a chance to talk with Cam Taylor. We'll hear that interview coming up at 5:25. You can join us. You can get involved. Numbers to dial up, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Can follow us on Twitter, Chris Schmidt, that's me, at Schmidt underscore radio. Colton Stone, the award winner at Two Birds, One Stone is where you follow him. Can email Chris at HaleVarsity.com. So there's still plenty of buzz. You're excited. We'll hear from Coach Chenander here coming up in a moment with what he thinks of the defense, the black shirt unveiling yesterday, all of that good stuff here in a moment. But I want to get to Herbstreit for a moment and just kind of give you the rundown on what he thinks of Nebraska football and if that still kind of winds you up or not as a Nebraska fan. And pretty much I agree with, as hard as it is to say, it really was, when you look at the Big Ten West, when they switched over to the West and the East, I know Iowa won a division one year, But it's been Wisconsin, right? I mean, Jerry Kill in Minnesota was pretty good. I know Wisconsin fell down hard. Imagine a drunken Badger falling down the stairs after too much. That's how 2018 went for Wisconsin, with all this hype, all this top five ranking, coming off a 13-1 season. An 8-5 wasn't brutal. I mean, but they could have been a 9 or 10 win team. That's what most predicted. So they kind of came back to the pack. And let's be honest, the pack closed the gap. You've got a better Big Ten West. Coach DiNardo's right. It is super balanced. The Big Ten is very balanced. The West has beaten some heavyweights in the East. The East is still king and your best shot for a college football playoff. That may be shifting. That may be changing with the ability of Nebraska to ascend. Mm-hmm. Or maybe, Colton, for Wisconsin to be back to what they've been, and that's an 11 or 12 win football team for the last 3 or 4 years, not last year. But Kirk Herbstreit was asked about Nebraska and his thoughts. I think there's a ton of belief in the direction they're going. He said on the ESPN podcast, they got a great quarterback. They've got skill guys. He loves Spielman. Here's the question, right? And Chenander knows that his guy's got to answer the bell on this because it's not just a Herbstreit question. It's a question for you, the Nebraska fan. Mm-hmm. As young as the offense is, you got a guy you feel really good about directing it, and that's Adrian Martinez. Defensively, here's the question. Are they there defensively week in, week out? Are they there? Are the black shirts going to be there week in, week out in the grind that is the Big Ten to be able to avoid a hiccup? That's a very fair question. Our old buddy Danny Burke, the Pride of Chicago, just tweeted out to us the fact that the Council Bluffs sportsbooks already have $250,000 of liability on Nebraska. It's Tuesday, and there's heat on Nebraska, not only to win, but cover on Saturday nationally on ESPN. Wow. We talk Kool-Aid, brother. Give me both straws. Send me to Duffy's, and let's get rolling. All right? Put a little something in my Kool-Aid. But listen, that's the question. And it's not just a defensive question. Mm-hmm. It's an offensive question. And that's what's kind of giving you pause when it's time to predict the wins and losses. Listen, you're going to have an off game. You're going to have an off game by the offense, where the defense has got to come to play. Look at Michigan State a year ago. And that wasn't just Nebraska's offense having an off day. That was Michigan State's defense being top three good in the country. Okay, mm-hmm. That was Michigan State. You know, Costanza says, I invented, it's not you, it's me. All right? That was them. All right? That was Sparty being good. And then Mother Nature gave you a double middle finger. All right? Between the snow and all that stuff. So that was Nebraska's off game offensively, okay? Defensively, that was their shining moment for the year. Mm-hmm. The way they were able to hold Sparty in Big Ten, John Facenda weather to 6. So you're going to have an off day offensively. The 1997 National Championship Nebraska football team had a really tough day defensively against Missouri, all right? The Nebraska defense in 1996 had a tough game against Texas. The 1996 Nebraska blackshirt defense forced 50 turnovers and carried that team to a top 6 ranking until the offense kind of got going. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's about complementary football. Your offense and defense help each other out. That's the name of this game. Get a takeaway, get the ball back for the offense, get 2 or 3 more possessions, outscore somebody, get some stops, make some splash plays defensively. I haven't really figured out where Nebraska will have a tough go on offense. Injuries kind of dictate that to me, as well as matchups, right? Defensively, though, I can't wait for Saturday. I know South Alabama's like lower tier, bottom 10 of college football, but I know they got a big, strong, fast quarterback in Cephas. I love saying the word Cephas. I know he's talented. I don't know that they're going to ride all year with him, but he won the job. He's got to keep the job. They've got fast dudes in space they're going to get the football to. So it's going to come down to Nebraska tackling.
Yep.
Like every game. And conversely, the offensive line, your bookends are going to face some big, fast, 300-pound dudes. We heard from Coach Campbell yesterday that he likes his defensive line. And listen, South Alabama is getting a paycheck and nothing to lose. They're going to go let it all hang out. They're going to go have a hell of a good time Saturday. They're not supposed to win. They're not supposed to be around. Nebraska's supposed to win this thing by 42 points. And you kick off the party all the way to Boulder at about 3:30 Saturday afternoon once this thing gets put to bed. So, listen, I look at Nebraska and I look at Saturday. Yeah, can they come out and be every inch as good as they're supposed to be? We'll hear from Coach Chenander right now. Colton, you know, you tell me, man. There will be a game where Nebraska's offense struggles. There will be a game where Nebraska's defense. But is Nebraska's defense going to be more reliable this year, week in, week out? I say my answer is yes, and my answer is yes because of the depth they have up front. That is something they didn't have a year ago. They have it now, and the Big Ten is a line of scrimmage league. We should probably be talking about the offensive line, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
I mean, are there more questions on the offensive line than the defensive line?
I think
with what's returning?
Yeah, I think it's an experience thing offensively. Defensively, you know.
You know who you got. Yeah. Now do they raise their level?
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. I think where I kind of go with this is that, I know we talk about it all the time, like who's going to be more ready out of the gate? I think come Saturday, I think the defense will look more prepared potentially just because they can kind of play off of emotion. They don't have to so much, you know, play off of very specific, like, game situations. They can kind of just go out and just ball out.
Yeah, just go play.
Right. But that's the thing is the week in and week out. This isn't a league that you can walk in and say, it's just fill in the blank team. It's just Northwestern.
There is no Kansas.
The only one is Rutgers.
And you don't get Rutgers this year.
Yeah, you don't get Rutgers this year. And even Illinois is kind of like, you know.
The timing of that thing's a son of a gun.
Yes. So, I mean, week in and week out, I think you still, the offense will be more reliable. But I think the defense will be there in the big games more so than they were even just a year ago.
I don't think the defense will be a stepchild this year.
No.
Right? And last year, they weren't a stepchild, but they just, they gave up a lot of points, man, and they're sick of hearing about that. Mm-hmm. And they want to atone for some of that. We'll talk to Cam Taylor about that. Cut five. You know, Coach Chenander today asked, what are you going to see from them black shirts? What's the defense going to bring to the party on Saturday?
Well, I hope what they see on defense is, I mean, it's what I've seen so far is guys playing really, really hard. The effort's been unbelievable. Communication's been unbelievable. Hopefully we cause some turnovers. Hopefully we're well tackling. Hopefully we're a physical football team. That's what I want to see in game one.
Amen. Every Nebraska fan right now in their car, listening on their phone, at the gym, wherever, or later on with the podcast is nodding in solidarity with you, Coach Chenander. More from Coach Chins here. And this is the real difference. I told you, you know, is the defense going to be better? Are they going to be more reliable? I say yes because of their depth. I say yes because of their experience. Part of that is also, you know, the Darian Daniels factor, the maturity. You got a guy like Mo Berry that loves playing football, and he's a senior now. You got a bunch of like-minded guys. Here's Coach Chenander as far as the approach. And what he says today about this team's approach is, and it could be, difference-making.
Yeah, I think I've just seen it's just a more mature group. It's a more workmanlike group. It's a group that knows what has to be done if we want to be successful. It's not a, we're going to do it our way. They're doing it Coach Frost way right now. And it's just, it's a completely different attitude.
That's good news to hear. Good attitude, better attitude, different attitude for Nebraska. We'll get into this Nebraska defensive side of the football with more of the DB in the theme today. More thoughts from Coach Chenander. Really saw a pretty real and vulnerable moment from Gronk. You know, the party animal, the guy you knew and maybe was probably a roommate of yours personality-wise in college. Well, Gronk was doing a I don't know if it was a seminar on CBD products with this company he's tight with, but he got pretty emotional. Well, there's still more to get into with Andrew Luck. We'll hear from Aaron Rodgers. We'll hear from Gronk on that situation. So plenty of that. But Mitch Sherman's on the way. Cam Taylor in 1 hour. Husker defensive back extraordinaire. Rick Pizzo's coming up. A reminder about your friends at Sauter Heyman. When you stop into Sauter Heyman and spend $2,500, you get a free, say it with me, free Traeger grill. Heat up your tailgate in more ways than one and get her some jewelry she dreams of. And get instantly rewarded with that Traeger grill for football season. Everyone's a Traeger. That's no doubt, man. The smoker, perfect for football season. And Traeger's absolutely incredible. Sauter Heyman, the best in the market. Stop in today. 12th and O, downtown Lincoln. South Point Pavilion in Lincoln or out west in Grand Island. And Sauter Heyman, the official jeweler of Husker Athletics, can log on sauterheyman.com. You stop in, you spend $2,500, get that free Traeger grill. I don't know if Rick's going to put some ribs on for you, but you might ask him because they're pretty good. Mitch Sherman coming up from The Athletic as we're off and running week one with Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
He's in his 30s. But sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. 1 hour from now, Husker defensive back Cam Taylor will join us. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, we say hi to Mitch Sherman from The Athletic, at Mitch Sherman on Twitter. Mitch, what'd you think of Gordo's pitching performance?
I was impressed that he was able to wing it 80 miles an hour sidearm with as what appeared to be as little effort as he did. You know, it was batting practice, basically, but I can't go out there and throw like that. So
damage was already done, my friend, before he got to the hill.
Right. I mean, it had nothing to do with the score. I mean, he came in, it was, what, 16-3? So it was fun. I heard from some people in Kansas City who knew of my history with Alex and texted to ask if he ever pitched in college. And I said, I don't know that he pitched in high school.
I don't think he did in high school.
I mean, I was guessing that he did somewhere along the line in high school, because when you're that much better than everybody else that you play, you generally end up on the mound at some point. But I don't know. In chronicling Alex through all the years, I don't ever remember hearing a story about him as a pitcher in high school.
I don't. You know, I'll have to check with my brother on that, even going back to youth travel baseball and figure out if they took the hill then or not. Well, it's week one, Mitch, and I know you've been extremely busy. Really enjoy your stories and your coverage on The Athletic. And we'll get to what you're doing podcast-wise. Let's talk Mo Washington. And are you surprised there was no news? And I know that it's out of Coach Frost's hands timeline-wise. But
yeah.
From a university standpoint, you know, what are you thinking here? Do we find out a Thursday? Do we wait Friday? Or is it, hey, look who's back to return on Saturday? Is it going to take that long to know something?
At this point, I don't think that any guess that I would offer is going to sound any better. It could be Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I thought we would know on Monday this week. I thought we would know yesterday that it got to game week and we've been through the off season and, you know, this case was dragging along in court. Clearly, there, it's been in a situation for quite some time, at least all through August, where it did not appear likely there would be a resolution in California before the start of the season. So the facts are there. You know, we know, everybody knows what the charges are that he faces. And I'm confused as to what other new information could possibly be causing Nebraska at this stage to feel the need to continue to discuss this. I think, you know, once it got to August, in my mind, it was going to go one of two ways with Washington's status for the opener and really for the season. And it would be either you play him until there's a resolution in or out of court that will allow you to either make a disciplinary decision or not make one if he's exonerated or if the charges are reduced, or you sit him until it's settled. And either one of those I could have seen happening. I didn't expect this, where it would be going within days of the game now in game week and Nebraska still seemingly deliberating over it.
Mitch Sherman's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, at Mitch Sherman on Twitter. Mitch with the Athletic. So any surprises / nuggets with the depth chart that kind of struck you at all?
Yeah, I mean, there were a number of things that were a little bit different than what I expected. I was looking for Andre Hunt yesterday afternoon, and assume we'll hear more about whatever it is that kept him off the depth chart either tomorrow from Troy Walters or on Thursday from Scott Frost. I don't know if it's an injury thing or a suspension thing or what it is, but he definitely had played himself into a spot where he was in line to be in the rotation at receiver and, perhaps even on the starting line. So, that needs to be addressed. I think it was just overlooked asking Frost about it yesterday. We knew about Cam Jurgens on Friday. Not really any other surprises on the offensive line or in the backfield. That was about as expected. On defense, defensive line was about as expected. I thought maybe Tyron Ferguson would get a starting nod over Caleb Tanner at outside linebacker, but that speaks, I think, to both of their abilities to recover from injuries. They're both coming off years where they were bothered by injuries, and it seems that Tanner has progressed better physically at this point. And in the secondary, really, it's pretty much as expected. I think a lot of people thought that those young defensive backs, those freshman defensive backs, Javon Wright, Noah Pola-Gates, Miles Farmer, might show up on the depth chart alongside Quentin Newsome. And, part of the reason for that is that Travis Fisher, the secondary coach, has been cross-training those guys. They're viewed as safeties, as all three of those guys, I think, are viewed long-term as safeties. I know for sure Pola-Gates and Wright are viewed as safeties because I talked last week with Travis Fisher about that. And he's been taking them and putting them in the classroom and on the field at both spots and kind of rotating them along. So they don't want to rush those guys through. And I think they're going to play at least four games or probably four games at some point this year, as long as there aren't injuries with that top group, but they're happy with the depth that they had. And I got several questions on this, is why I'm kind of going into it. They're happy with the depth that they got with what they have, with the walk-ons at safety in Isaiah Stallberg, Eli Sullivan and Reed Carroll. So that allows Fisher to work with those guys and make those young DBs, those new DBs, a little more well-rounded before he puts them on the field.
Mitch, overall, what's an expectation you have with this Nebraska D in 2019?
Generate a lot of turnovers and create havoc. I hesitate to set expectations as far as yardage, because it's just different than what we're accustomed to when you gauge a team that way. I think we're still getting used to what to expect from a number standpoint. It's different. I mean, you can look at yards per play. Yards per rush is a big one. I've heard a lot of defensive guys, especially on the line, talk about that number. It was 5.0 a year ago, and that's way too high. They want it down in the threes. So that's an expectation. But I will say that the biggest one probably is the turnovers that they generate. They need to be plus in turnovers this year. So that's on the offense and the defense, but the defense in particular, I think, can dictate some things there and just make things difficult on opposing offenses by creating pressure with that three-man front and having linebackers who are really active. That'll go a long way toward creating interceptions, which, of course, is a big part of turnovers.
Mitch Sherman's with us, The Athletic, Hale Varsity Radio, at Mitch Sherman on Twitter. Pretty cool to hear Frost describe and then Chenander today touch on the way the black shirts were distributed, Mitch.
Yeah, I don't know. What are you going to have? What do you have going to be buried with? What piece of the tire is going to be? Going to be in your, have you decided on that, Chris?
I was going to ask, you know what, man, I asked you about
your
Alex
microphone?
To start off.
I mean, what is it?
No, and I don't own my own microphone, so it'd be forever rental, right? I've got a three-quarter zip my wife makes fun of that I wear way too often. Probably that. I was going to ask you if you had a Royals throwback.
Sure.
When I was 5 or 6 years old, I had a George Brett jersey I never took off, so maybe I'll find where that thing's at. I don't know, but
I've got a 2015 Royals World Series championship shirt that I'd love to break out as soon as the weather goes below about 70 degrees. It's long sleeve, so I mean, not surprised that Jay Foreman was the guy who said that to the group, and I think he means it. I mean, he's not just like speaking to impact them. He's genuine with his passion, and that's the great thing about the black shirt tradition, is that you don't have to look far to find guys who feel that way. I think there were a number of them on that practice field on Monday when they handed them out. And listening to Scott Frost, it was like they kind of thought about that at the last minute. They didn't have an opportunity to fly in Grant Wistrom or, you know, some of the all-time greats. It was just like, all right, who's around here who wore the black jersey and can come out and speak to this group? And you get Jason Peter, and you get Jay Foreman, and you got Chris Kelsey and Chad Kelsey, and, man, Mark Mumford, what a blast from the past with that. And Keo Craver was there, and Zach Bowman. I mean, yeah, just guys who wear it on their sleeve. And it was so cool to see that and to hear, you know, what Mo Berry had to say. Barrett Root, of course, you know, is a great former black shirt, and he's his position coach, so it was a natural for Barrett to give Mo his black shirt. I'm sure that was a moment that now they hope to make a tradition every fall when they hand those things out.
Coach McBride really loved that idea. He was,
I'll bet,
kind of overjoyed yesterday. Okay, about 90 seconds. Are style points important Saturday for Nebraska?
Well, I mean, you don't want to win by 7. I think so. I mean, that's it's not just a game where you're going to go out and say, hey, get a win at any cost, win by 1 point. No, I think style points are important. There's been a lot of hype about this Nebraska team internally, externally, through the offseason about how they deserve to be or they don't deserve to be, depending on who you talk to, a favorite in the Big Ten West. I think they need to go out and they need to look like a nationally ranked team. Now, I mean, you get the win. You move on to week two, and you can always change the narrative if they play poorly against South Alabama. But momentum is an important thing. And I think week two at Colorado, and we'll soon be talking about that, is such an important game for the whole complexion of the season that you need to do whatever you can to get yourself in the right frame of mind from a confidence standpoint, you know, be healthy. Everything needs to be pointing your way going into that game. I don't care if Nebraska looks like a better team than Colorado on paper. You got to have everything going your way as you go out to Boulder, because they haven't won a road game under Scott Frost. This is a team that beat Nebraska last year and is going to be pumped up to play at home in the first game under a new coach. So whatever you can do against South Alabama to get young guys confidence, whatever it is, that's what needs to be done on Saturday, more important than style points, to get yourself ready to play in Boulder in week two.
Love it. Mitch, about 10 seconds, where can folks find your podcast?
Yeah, just check it out on the Athletic app. Free on Friday on iTunes and Spotify and wherever you get your podcasts. Bonus episodes that come out early in the week. Max Olson and I taped our first one yesterday called The Sellouts. Check it out and go easy on us, because it was the first time, if you're listening.
Mitch, be good. Thanks for the time, bud.
Thanks, Chris. Take care.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, chris@halevarsity.com.
Just try me.
Back to Hale Varsity Radio.
That was good stuff from Mitch Sherman. You can find that on demand, ESPNLincoln.com. Also, when you log on ESPNLincoln.com, so the rundown here on our Roadshow Friday is at the Graduates. So we want to see out of the Graduate Fridays, 4 to 6 home football Fridays. And what we're doing here is we're kicking off the kind of the long drive competition. You got to get signed up on ESPNLincoln.com. And you can also sign up to win tickets while we're there on Friday to the South Alabama-Nebraska game. Prizes from Husker headquarters, Nebraska Lottery, 9th and P is where we're going to be, so we want to see you. So enter below your chance to be one of 10 elite fans. You're always number one in my heart as a fan, but there's 10 spots for elite fans to take part in the longest drive competition. If you've not been to the Graduate, they've got the Topgolf simulator suites. They're a ton of fun. So what we'll do is the longest drive allows you to graduate to the next week. Mm. Defend your title. And you can win a $20 gift card to the Graduate for the next round. Also, the longest drive of the season wins a Topgolf party for $8 and a $100 Graduate Lincoln gift card. Log on, get signed up, and maybe you don't hit it far and straight off the box in front of Shuey. I get it. But maybe it can happen for you at the Graduate. We want to see you down there. Home football Fridays. Get the season kicked off right with us at Hail Varsity Radio on Friday, 4 to 6.
See, I hear...
We've got bribery going on with your chance at Nebraska football tickets and good food and drink specials. But yes, the long drive. I know you're not working Friday. Are you going to sneak down?
Okay, so this is what I was about to bring up. So Jay will be there, right?
Yeah, well, Jay's not eligible.
No, I know. And I'm neither either of us. Well, but I think the three of us should longest drive for who buys a round of beers.
Dude, we're not doing that because we'd be buying Jay more beer all freaking year. Jay Bird's like...
No, just the loser.
No,
just third
place. So the guy who doesn't measure up...
That's right.
Right? Okay.
You don't have to be first. You just can't be last.
Thank you, Ricky Bobby. Thank you, Ricky Bobby. That's pretty good. This was pretty interesting. Let's spend a little bit of time on the NFL. Still fallout from the Andrew Luck decision. We'll get there in a minute. But Mitch brought up something interesting. We'll ask Pizzo about this. Are you that diehard a fan? Do you want to be buried in something? And I got to thinking, and I've got a lot of influential people in my life who I love. And I had a babysitter named Gertie Johnson. Gertie's been gone probably about 10 years, close to 10 years. Mm-hmm. And her husband would always, like, clockwork. They kind of settled down, began their life in the early 60s, okay? And Gertie was in her 90s when she passed away. So they were around Devaney's age, okay? Mm-hmm. But they started really being big-time Nebraska fans when Devaney got here. So her and her husband, from the 60s all the way to right before the championship years, they went to every bowl game. Every bowl game. They didn't miss a Saturday. They didn't miss a bowl game. They are the Nebraska fans that you sit by at Memorial Stadium. That was them for three decades.
Mm-hmm.
So when Gertie passed away, she had the coolest old school Nebraska stuff. And after school, that's what we would do. We'd play wiffle ball and we'd watch highlights. My dad was obsessed with the scoring explosion teams, right? And why wouldn't you be? So there were tapes of the Orange Bowl and Sugar Bowls and all that stuff from the 80s. It was fun to watch. Like, all right, dude, I know Gilligan's Island's on and the Cubs are on WGN, let's watch a bowl game. So we'd do that. It was great after playing wiffle ball or playing football. But she was buried. She had this giant, giant pin that they had in the late 70s or early 80s. It's almost like a campaign pin, right? Mm-hmm. Wasn't I Like Ike, but it was the old school Herbie Husker, and it was Go Big Red, and it was next to her in her coffin. And she was buried with that. It was really cool. So she was the biggest, coolest Nebraska fan I knew, and she was buried with her Go Big Red pin. As far as me getting buried with something, I haven't thought that far ahead, right? My wife will
probably... You're not planning like 30 years ahead, Schmidt?
No, I mean, the wife will probably like stick an inhaler or something in there to be a smartass. That's what she'll do. But no, I have not figured a piece of sports memorabilia or fandom to take with me. You're a big sports nut.
Yeah.
Are you gonna be buried in your Wade jersey?
See, this would be thinking way ahead now. I mean, I have like a bunch of Husker tickets, but that'd be more of like a passing that down and hoping that other people go. And you know,
I got a bunch of stuff like my mom has on a bulletin board with ticket stubs.
Yeah. I mean, I've got a Sean Taylor jersey. I've got, if I could find my.
Like, are you serious? Like you'd be buried in a jersey?
Maybe with it, but
okay.
I don't know.
It's like super kind of morbid, but I mean, this is on the heels of, and Jay Foreman was on with Greg Ethan Hooks.
I can find my earlier. I have an Amon Green jersey somewhere. Not that I'd like be buried with it, but I wish I could find it. That'd be cool.
I know guys my brother's age, and I loved him too, but their dude was Ken Griffey Jr. growing up.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Or like, I know one guy I'm thinking of that's the biggest Elway fan there is, right? I mean, maybe there's an Elway jersey he's rocking, the old Orange Crush jersey. Chiefs fans, Derek Thomas. I mean, I'm not judging. I'm just asking. Do you know a Nebraska fan that would be buried in a jersey or their Nebraska gear?
Yeah, I think in it.
I think like 20 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, in it versus
30 years ago,
with it.
Yeah.
That's kind of the debate, in it versus with it. Like, are you going to be like wearing, you know, they're going to have you set up wearing the jersey? No, I wouldn't.
But no.
I don't know.
Each to their own, because, I mean, dude, people have bought the sports-themed coffins for years.
Yeah.
I mean, you could buy a Boomer Sooner coffin. I remember seeing those things as far back as like 25 years ago. But, yeah, I don't doubt Foreman with his intensity and how much the black shirt means to him. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, I get
I respect that.
Yeah, that's the thing, too. It's kind of, you know, like Mitch said, I don't think it was just for show, but it does prove a point of, like, what it means to the guys that have worn one and have been a part of the Nebraska defense. And Charlie kind of hit on it yesterday that, you know, you may not have a black shirt, but you are a black shirt if you're on that defense. So I think it does mean something.
Good story by Derek Peterson, too. He caught up with Jay Foreman on HailVarsity.com, so you want to read that or hear what Nick and Hooksy had to say with Jay earlier today. Can you go to ESPNLincoln.com for that? But I don't know, something to mull over. Are you a big enough sports nut that there's some memento you'd be buried with? I can't. I don't know. Nothing strikes me right now. We'll wind down hour one. Rick Pizzo's coming up. Husker Cam Taylor next hour.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
10 minutes away, it's Rick Pizzo time. Cam Taylor next hour. Thoughts on Gronk and his take on battling injuries. Aaron Rodgers sounds off as well. I'm a little disappointed. Spent 30 minutes of my life last night trying to figure out a way to log on to BBC One across the pond, because on Sunday night, the most current season of Peaky Blinders came out, but I got to wait till October to catch it on Netflix. There's some sort of double secret probation, OJ stealing cable type app I apparently can get, but I'm afraid to. Not just because it's like foreign and it's hard to read and there's some different languages involved, but can you say data hackage? There's nothing in my account. Go ahead and spend it. Fine. But I mean, seriously, because I live in America, BBC has rights to Peaky Blinders.
Yeah.
I got to wait for Breaking Bad. It'll be good October. I mean, it'll be college football galore, and you'll have the Breaking Bad movie and the new episodes of Peaky Blinders.
Yeah. I mean, it's always kind of the built-up anticipation. I don't think we'd be as excited for college football starting if we didn't have to wait so long for it. You know,
no, it builds up some of that anticipation for sure. Let's hear more from Chenander here, and this will kind of set the scene on our guest next hour, Cam Taylor. And, you know, we'll talk with Cam about where his role will be on the defense, but he's a guy that's super proud to be a black shirt, and he's a guy that can affect this defense positively from a ton of spots.
Leadership from a young guy. He's an absolute dynamite special teams player, and he's a guy for us that can play corner, he can play safety, he can play nickel. He's good enough to be the starter at any five of those positions, but we also have really good ones right now in front of him. But he's going to play a lot of football this year. I think he's going to make a lot of plays.
Last thought here, and we talked about it with Mitch. We spent time with it on Coach McBride yesterday, but that black shirt impact, and this was really, really pretty telling from Coach Chenander, as he wants the guys to really feel what it means to be a black shirt.
It was an awesome experience. Meant the world to me and the guys. You know, I don't ever like to talk about what those guys say, because I want them to feel like they can come back to the team and say anything they want. But, I mean, you're talking about a deal where you've got some grown men shedding a tear, and there's one of them right here. But, you know, I mean, they just told those guys what it meant to be a black shirt, and I don't know if they've heard that from enough guys yet to really get this tradition back where it needs to be. And it was an awesome, awesome ordeal. One I'll cherish for the rest of my life.
That's your defensive coordinator and Coach Chenander trying to put into words that impromptu moment, that impromptu ceremony. We're going to talk with Jay Moore tomorrow, and it's special to Jay for sure. I want to remind you about buckling up. We tell you to do it every day, and we mean it. When you wear that seatbelt, it prevents excessive injury when your vehicle and your body need to slow down in a hurry. That applies to the driver's seat, passenger seat, or back seat. Buckle up now. Click it or ticket a message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. Big Ten buffet time. Rick Pizzo's on the way. We'll hear from Husker Blackshirt, part of that secondary, Cam Taylor, Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Welcome to it. It's hour two. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the award-winning Colton Stone. We say hi to another award winner. It's Rick Pizzo time, Big Ten Buffet. Mr. Rick, it is college football season. Sir, how are you?
I'm terrific. Though the award-winning category, I'm not so sure that applies. You could ask my kids. They would give you awards, though I'm not sure they're fit for all of your listeners on radio, and probably nobody wants to know about them. You have kids. You understand exactly what I mean.
I beat him over the head with how important I am. Don't kid yourself. Listen.
Every day, man.
I got to ask you this, and I just saw it on social media. It's been making the rounds. And you've got a gentleman who's doing a report on the soccer field, on the pitch, and he got the old Happy Gilmore treatment, be on the nine at the ninth at 9 o'clock where the sprinklers go off. So this guy's got his phone. He's trying to do an on-field report. I don't know what language he's speaking, but he's staring at the camera. He's looking conversational, and he's not, you know, frozen. And just gets destroyed twice with one of those monster sprinklers that's watering an entire soccer field. And he keeps on ticking, man. What's like the toughest assignment you had to deal with? Did you have to fight through an upset win or loss? Or, I mean, you tell me, man, you've done a lot of sideline work at a high level. What's been a dicey moment?
I actually had one fairly similar experience early in my career. I was working in Florence, South Carolina. And there was an East Coast Hockey League team, now defunct, known as the PD Pride.
Okay.
And I was doing a pre-show practice report. It was a night game. A couple of guys were skating in the morning, and we were taping as if live.
Mm-hmm.
And one guy went to ring one around the boards and it caught one of those weird spots in the plexiglass, jumped the boards. I'm literally in the middle of my stand-up, and this puck, at that point, you know, some of the heat had been taken off it, but let's guess 40 miles per hour, drills me right in that little area on the outside of your ankle that sticks out just a little bit. I'm telling you, Schmidt, I have never tried to fight through pain harder, and I fought miserably. It was the award-winning, speaking of award-winning, video at our bloopers session during our yearly Christmas party that year. Everybody loved it except for me.
I'm laughing with you, Rick. I am. Oh, I can imagine, man. A puck off the shin? Ugh. Dude.
Usually when I got hit with pucks growing up, I had a lot of pads on, you know what I mean?
No, I know. I mean, you're used to violence and that mentality between the pipes. I get it, but, oh, well, good on you for sticking it out during that stand-up. I got to ask you here, let's switch to college football. Nebraska's defense, that's kind of been the talk this week. The black shirts will be what, Mr. Pizzo, in 2019?
I think they'll be vastly improved. I just don't know, Chris, if I am ready to buy in to say that they will be improved enough for this team to be a Big Ten West champion. I think the offense is going to be, without question, championship caliber. And I understand that Nebraska has the majority of their really difficult games at home. And on a side note, by the way, what a great year to be a season ticket holder, right?
Oh,
those home games in Lincoln this year, unbelievable. But that schedule, that specific stretch in October where you have Ohio State and Northwestern and Minnesota, and it can basically shape the entire season, and you have them all bunched together, that scares me a little bit from a defensive perspective, because I think when you're a young, up-and-coming defense and you have a coordinator in Jen Andrew who's trying to build a mindset that used to belong and one that the head coach understands, it is okay to sell that 1 week. It becomes really hard to sell it 3 weeks in a row, especially with that type of competition. And I think that the West is so intriguing this year because there's so much balance and there's going to be so much cannibalization that if you suffer one or two losses in October, how hard is it going to be to respond? So I think the black shirt defense will be greatly improved. I love the emphasis that Coach Frost has put on it because it's what he knew. It's what he understands this defense has to get back to be championship caliber. I still think it is probably 1 year away from actually being championship caliber.
Rick, you nailed it. In that stretch in October, you have Ohio State coming to town. End of September, you know what it could be atmosphere-wise. It'll be big time anyway, but if both squads are undefeated, it'll be crazy. Northwestern follows. Northwestern has unusual success in Lincoln. And then you're at Row the Boatland. I mean, right up there, October 12th. That is a monster three-game stretch. But, Rick, it's not unusual. I mean, the Big Ten is really good at stacking, in some instances, three games consecutively. In past years, you might have a five-game stretch, or just let's just call it November, where you really have kind of a murderer's row set up. And it's not it doesn't, you know, land on Nebraska. I mean, Wisconsin faces it this year. You had a stretch where Penn State had some really tough ones a year ago. Same with Ohio State. I mean, this league eats their own, bud.
Yeah, you remember a couple of years ago when Iowa went 12-0 and was one play away from making the college football playoff when L.J. Scott stretched out and got into the end zone with the championship game? Kirk Ferentz and the Hawkeyes were killed, just killed, for having such an easy schedule that season. You look at their schedule this season, it is absolutely brutal. I mean, if Iowa gets there, they finish in Lincoln, right?
Yep.
At the end of the year. They have unbelievably difficult road games, unbelievably difficult crossovers. I understand that the schedule has to be computer-generated, and there are some parameters that are fed into the computer to make sure that too long of a gap doesn't exist between years of two teams playing each other. But I also like the human element, Chris, and I think I say that because the human element understands that schedules shouldn't be really hard 2 years in a row and then significantly easier 2 years in a row. I think it benefits the league overall to make the schedules as much as possible more even as far as degree of difficulty, because at the end of the day, what does the conference want? The conference wants its conference champion to be part of the playoff. Now, Ohio State got there 3 seasons ago without being the conference champ, but we've gone 3 straight seasons now without the conference champ being part of the playoff. If there is goal one for the Big Ten, it should be to do everything possible, whether it's schedule-wise, whether it's publicity, whether it's doing whatever you have to do with the committee to get your conference champion into the playoff this year.
You can still have a difficult schedule, but can you space it out, right? Can you space it out? Can you have a showdown with Ohio State in September? Can you space it out and get Wisconsin in a middle of October, and then you end with an Iowa? But you just don't know who's going to rise up and who's going to fall from year to year. You have a pretty good idea who's going to stick and stay. I mean, you know the 3 to 4 teams in the East are going to be pretty good, and you know the West is rising, and you know Wisconsin's typically good. You think Nebraska's coming back. Iowa's no one to mess with. But you have Purdue and Minnesota that are I'm not saying they're great every year, but they're going to be more consistent here in coming years. I got to ask you about Northwestern here. The depth chart is out for the Wildcats. It's an or situation with TJ Green or Hunter Johnson. Are you surprised that Green's name is first, even though it sounds like that both could start?
Absolutely not. Okay. I think Green's name is first because G comes before J. Pat Fitzgerald has been remarkably clear that he is not telling anybody. He is not hinting at anything. I think his quote was, "We play on the West Coast at 1 o'clock against Stanford Pacific time on Saturday. You will find out who our quarterback is at 12:59:59. And this is quoting Fitz. He said, "And you can thank me later. You all in the media will be the last to know." It's just his game. That's just who he is. It's how he rolls. He's not trying to be dismissive. He's not trying to be salty. That's just who he is. And I think, I don't know, this is conjecture, I think they've settled on Hunter Johnson. I think he gives them the better chance to win. I think he is the dual threat quarterback that everybody wanted a couple of years ago. He ended up at Clemson, and he just happened to be behind the guy who most people believe now is going to win the Heisman Trophy in Trevor Lawrence. So I do think that Hunter Johnson's the guy. I don't blame Fitz. We had a great discussion, Chris, on the show on Monday about head coaches not being ready to name their starters any earlier than they have to. Because you looked at Washington last week, you looked at Arizona State last week, you look at a couple other programs, Mississippi State. If quarterbacks are not named the starter, they immediately enter the transfer portal. And as every coach knows, you are one injury away to your starting quarterback. Ask Ryan Day how nervous he is about Justin Fields this year. You are one injury away from going from contender to pretender. So I don't blame these guys if they're doing everything they can to keep as many quality quarterbacks on their roster for as long as humanly possible.
Let's talk Michigan. Shea Patterson, Dylan McCaffrey. Shea will start. You'll see Dylan. That's the sound of it. Will that work in Ann Arbor this year? Will that be an asset versus a liability? And I know how good the McCaffrey family is, and I know how good Patterson is, but will it screw up momentum, or will it just enhance the Wolverine offense?
Man, I got to tell you, Chris, I'm so glad you asked that question because I think this is an under-talked-about topic inside the Big Ten. Michigan is considered the favorite for the first time in the Harbaugh era in the East. And yet Jim Harbaugh has been very vocal and very public about the fact that he plans to play, in his own words, 2 quarterbacks in every single game. He has said that on multiple occasions. He said that to me during Big Ten media days. So that means that right now, his plan is, when they face Ohio State at the end of November, the 2 quarterbacks are getting into the game. Now, I give Coach Harbaugh the authority to change his mind. Because if you are in a dogfight against Ohio State and Shea Patterson is playing the game of his life, Shea Patterson is not coming out of the football game. You know that. I know that. Everybody that knows college football understands that. But at the same point, Dylan McCaffrey is going to be there for longer than Shea Patterson. So you are also balancing a couple of balls with a couple of guys who you think can win you football games. And adding to that, to that factor, Josh Gattis, the brand-new first-year offensive coordinator that is changing everything from what Michigan has done historically. There's no fullback anymore. We are multiple. We are wide open. We are moving every 10, 12 seconds. We're taking the snap as fast as we can. Both Patterson and McCaffrey can run that offense. I think it's absolutely fascinating. I think it's something that we have not talked about nearly enough. And I think when Michigan, specifically Patterson, hits his first spot of bother, that to me is going to say a ton about what Jim Harbaugh's actual plan is for the 2019 season under center.
You know, and it just, I get it. You want to use the talents of a McCaffrey and the athleticism of a McCaffrey. And I mean, Nebraska's got Luke, his younger brother, and he's been really, really good. I mean, he is someone that could be very special. You got the redshirt option this year. You can see him in four games and let him dip his toe in, but not burn him. You also want to keep both quarterbacks happy, but around. I mean, it's a juggling act. And I'm interested to see where things go with it if you're Michigan. Rick Pizzo's with us, Big Ten Network, Big Ten Buffet Time. Rick, I want to get to a couple of last thoughts here, about 2 minutes. Wisconsin at South Florida. Is this a sneaky, tough game for the Badgers?
I think it's only sneaky tough because they have questions under center, right? Because yep. Jack Cohn, who struggled a lot last year in relief of the injured Alex Hornibrook, is the guy. But you know what the good thing is, and it's not just for Cohn, it's for anybody that plays quarterback. You got a guy behind you who is the first man in history to rush for 1,900 yards in each of his first 2 years on campus. Now, other guys have done it in consecutive years, but never their first 2 years. Those other guys are like LaDainian Tomlinson and other college football Hall of Famers. So you're in good stead. I think if it comes down to it, you just hand the ball to Jonathan Taylor 35 times, and they'll be fine. I think Wisconsin probably escapes. But, yeah, this is the kind of game that you don't necessarily want to open with because, of course, it's going to be a little bit of a scare, and this is one that you know USF has had circled since the schedule was released.
30 seconds, and I'm not asking you right or wrong. I'm asking you what you see. And do you see Maurice Washington carrying the football Saturday in Lincoln?
That's a great question, Chris. And honestly, I want to answer, but I just don't think I'm educated enough to answer it.
Sure.
I would not be surprised, honestly. I would not be surprised to see it, especially if the game gets out of hand, as I expect it to get out of hand. And at the same point, why? Why rush it? If you don't need it, why do it? Let everything play itself out slowly. Scott Frost seems to me to be a very measured guy. In the conversations I've had with him and everything that I've heard, he does not make any decisions. It may seem sometimes like he's making them on the spot. I think he's thinking everything out. If he makes that decision, it'll be well thought out. I'm just not sure why week one you would have to do it. I'm not so sure it would be the right time.
Rick Pizzo's with us, Big Ten Buffet. And Rick, it is awesome to talk college football with you, man. A lot of topics, a lot of fun. We appreciate you jumping on with us, and we'll try and run you down next week, man. You have a good Saturday. You got to be fired up.
Man, it is week one. I'm on my way to do sidelines at Michigan. First ever home opener at night for the Wolverines, and we have it on BTN. It's going to be a ton of fun, man.
Well, we'll be watching, Rick. Be good. Thanks thanks so much for the time, man.
Thanks, Schmitty. Always my pleasure, man. Great to catch up.
All right, there he is. Rick Pizzo with us. Good stuff from him. Got to like hearing from Mr. Rick. Yeah, we'll see if things explode or not with Michigan and their quarterback situation. How about Cam Taylor, a black shirt? He's up next on Hail Varsity.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
A few minutes with us here, Hail Varsity Radio. Cam Taylor joins us. Big smile on his face, man. You ready for the year?
Of course I'm ready for the year, man. I woke up with a big smile on my face. It's game week, man.
It is game week, and that's music to a lot of football fans' ears. South Alabama's coming to town. How special is it to play against a squad from your home state?
Man, it's pretty special. You know, we had the upset with Troy last year, and I promise you that won't happen again.
Confidence, that's something a lot of us in the media have noticed about this team, not just offensively, but defensively. Why are you confident for 2019? Why do you think your mates on the defensive side of the ball are so confident?
We all been so together, you know. It's been a great summer and fall. Fall camp was amazing. It was a big change from last year when I came. Everybody was out there, you know, ready to work every day. It wasn't just let's come out here and let's get it over with, but let's come out here and let's get to work and put in some work, more work, because we may not get this day again, you know.
You mentioned putting that work in, and let's go back. What were you expecting as a freshman a year ago when you came in, and kind of what do you anticipate now? Just that growth from you, but also some of your teammates. Can you kind of chronicle it for us? When did it flip?
Honestly, when I came in, I kind of knew it was going to be a rebuild, especially for, you know, a new staff, you know, new players, you know, they have to work with. And I knew what I was getting myself into, but, you know, I kind of felt, you know, we were going to do a little better than last year. But maybe that was just a wake-up call for Nebraska football, you know, that we needed that. So this year we're coming in here, and we're year two. Everybody's, you know, got their plays down packed. Everybody's more confident. Everybody's putting in more work, bigger, stronger, and faster, you know, working with Coach Duvall. So, you know, it's going to be a great.
What's Coach Duvall like? I mean, people hear the stories. You lived it. You're putting the work in. What's it like typically for you?
And outside the weight room, man, he's a funny guy, honestly. He's always fooling around with us. But, you know, in that weight room, it's all about business. You know, you have to put in that work, and he's going to make sure you put in that work. No shortcuts.
Kim Taylor's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, a few minutes. Your role on the team right now, where do you see yourself contributing, and what is a strength right now? What have you gotten better at that you can help your teammates with on the defensive side of the ball?
Honestly, I just got better at being, you know, a defensive player. You know, I came in playing quarterback, and you just had to change everything that I've always known and things like that. But it hasn't been a big change. I've always been, you know, kind of an athlete and things. But, you know, just being a better player on defense, you know, doing anything for my team, anything, I mean.
Technique-wise, though, what have you refined?
My feet, you know, feet and hands got to go together. You know, playing DB, you have to be, you know, light on your feet. You have to, you know, be able to get your hips right and things. So I've been working on that with my teammates as well.
With that cornerback room, immediately we got to start with Coach Fisher. What's he meant to you, and how has he mentored you guys?
His mentor is great, man. He's always, you know, giving us the tips and things to be great. You know, he went into the NFL, and he had his share, you know, and things like that. So he gives us the tips and things and the tools, you know, to get to where he went. You know, he knows where we want to get to and things like that. So, you know, he just helps us out with a lot of that. So he gives us some drills. He tells us, you know, go watch some videos, Deion Sanders, you know, to help us out with some things, you know, technique-wise.
You a big YouTube connoisseur of primetime?
Yeah, man, I like primetime.
Do you like it when he starts high-stepping about the 30 and he kind of glides into the end zone?
Yeah, that's pretty cool, too.
So would that fly with Coach Fish?
Not at all. Not at all, man. It wouldn't fly with him.
With your skill set, man, you're fast, you're big, you're working on the hands and the feet going together. And what do you love most about DB?
You know, I know quarterbacks want to try you all the time, so I love that challenge. You know, I see the ball, I'm going to go get it.
Right, and you're not as experienced as some of the other corners. Do you think folks are going to say, okay, that's Cam, he's only a sophomore, let's pick on him? Do you think that is going through the minds of some offenses, or are you going to put some film out pretty early that may shut that down?
Yeah, that's my plan, to shut that down quickly. I promise you that. You know, everybody's throwing to me, I plan on it being incomplete, you know, or make a great tackle on, or a big hit or something like that. My expectations for myself are very high this year. You know, I came in as a freshman, you know, just wanted to play and make impact on this team, but I'm going to make an impact for a fact this year.
With your impact, and you saw time very early special teams, and also in at corner in some roles, you've D'd up guys on the outside, but you also had to mess with those slot guys that are super quick. How have you gotten to be a better tackler, and specifically with Nebraska? You watch college football, it is hard to tackle dudes in space. How have you been able to kind of work on that, focus on that, yes, through practice, but how does Nebraska prep you for it?
They prep us good. good. You know, like I said, we always focus on the indie periods in practice, the individual periods where, you know, we work on tackling drills and things, you know, in open space, because that's the hardest tackle in football. You know, and I kind of like those tackles, you know, because it makes me look like an even better player than, you know, I'm trying to be. You know, so those open field tackles, you know, it makes you look good, honestly.
Well, and it's tough to do. If you can be a team or a player that tackles an open field, difference maker.
You're right, big time.
Who's kind of influenced you in taking you under their wing at Nebraska? Who are some of the leaders? Do you consider yourself a leader? Kind of break down the vocal leadership side of things when we talk defense here.
Some guys, you know, that have always, you know, kind of looked out for me. You know, of course, my DB group as a whole, you know, each and last one of them. But, you know, Mo Berry, Darian Daniels, you know, they took me under. Even though he just came here, you know, he's helping me with that leadership role because he's an older guy, and he's helping me, you know, be, you know, more vocal and leading by example for one, you know. Because some days I may come out, all right, he's like, Cam, you know, you're not turned. What's up, baby? You know, turn up for me. I'm like, you know, I'm up, I'm here, you know. So, you know, I have to stay up all the time.
That's easy to want to be cranked all the time, mm-hmm. but we're human, and you're not always, like, the switch isn't always on, but it helps when somebody kind of pushes that. Darian was up at the podium talking about being elected captain, even though he's a grad transfer, and he's blown away by it. Are you surprised?
Honestly, I'm not surprised. He's come in and put in the work, man. He's come in and shown everybody that he is that leader, that he is that captain, that he's honestly a blessing, you know, to even come here. You know, we needed that.
Some of the kids you came in with, who are you close with? Who are your roommates? What do you like to do off the field that is influential? Because you're very serious. We're talking about leadership. That's something you embrace.
Yeah, you know, I hang with some guys, you know, but I'm kind of to myself sometimes. But when I do hang, you know, it is with my DB group and things. But other than that, it's Mari Washington, you know, Deidre Mills. I try to hang with some of those guys, you know, Wandale Robinson. You know, I just try to hang with some offensive guys, you know, just to know that we don't have, you know, that little segregation part of offense to defense. You know, we're all one family.
Well, you mentioned some key offensive guys. What can Nebraska fans expect from a guy like Mills at running back, from a guy like Mo that's coming back for a second year, and then Wandale? You've had to try and defend him. How good have they looked?
Real good. I can tell you that offense is very explosive, man. They got a lot of firepower, speed and power. You know, it's just not that fast Nebraska. We have those big backs, you know, like Dedrick now. You know, we have those tight ends that's going to block in, that can catch, you know, and run you over as well, you know. But we have those, you know, that speed on the offense as well. You got Ramir Johnson. You got Wendell Robinson. You got JD. You know, it's all one. And, you know, Adrian, he'll get up out of there too.
Are you one of the guys that Adrian had talked about, guys trying to get under his skin?
Yeah.
Are you one of those guys that might let him know he made a mistake, if that ever happened?
Of course. You know, me and Deontay, we stay on them decap as well. You know, he'll throw a pick and practice me or something like that, and we'll come in the locker room and be like, don't throw that again. You know, it's going to happen every time. He was like, you got me. But, you know, it's all competition at the end of the day.
Cam Taylor's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, a couple of minutes. The opener against South Alabama. The black shirts, you've had some former black shirts come speak to you. What'd that mean to you?
It meant a lot, honestly. You know, for them to come and take off from whatever they're doing, and anytime, you know, just to come and speak to us, you know, that's an honor. You know, for them to, even though they're former black shirts and things like that, that it shows a lot, you know, because we're still family. It doesn't mean, you know, once you get your black shirt, you up and you leave and things and forget about where you came from. But they show love, though.
Role-wise with you, are you a guy that, at least going into this year, are they wanting to kind of throw you in as nickel / hybrid slot guy, defender, or outside? Or do you even know yet what kind of they're thinking defensively here for you?
Honestly, wherever they put me, I'm going to play it, and I'm going to play it to the best of my ability. I don't care if it's long snapper.
You're versatile, though, is what I'm getting at.
I understand. I do understand that, yeah. I'll be a corner. corner, nickel, cinco, dime, safety, anywhere, you know, just to make a play.
Do you have a preference?
Not really.
Just on the field?
Yeah.
Last thought here, what's a personal goal you have for 2019?
Personal goal, you know, earn that black shirt and keep it for one, and be a big impact on this team, you know. I want to go beyond measures of anything, you know, the Big Ten awards and more, you know, just to help my team out, honestly.
Hey, Cam, good to meet you again. Thanks for the time.
Thank you.
Cam Taylor was with us, and Hail Varsity Radio got a chance to sit down with him, enjoyed that a lot, and kind of depicted what it meant for him to have some of those former black shirts reach out and person-to-person give that jersey. We'll have that posted on ESPN Lincoln, the on-demand. Also, we'll get that tweeted out on the ESPN Lincoln Twitter handle. Colton will grab some of the coolest parts of that interview and also SoundCloud that in the two-minute drill. Real quick, and we touched on versatility. Cam told you, dude, I don't care. If I'm long snapping, I want to play. He'll play. He'll play a lot. And here is Coach Chenander with that depth chart. We didn't beat you over the head with the depth chart yesterday. There weren't a ton of surprises. I mean, you have Tanner over JoJo. I get it from a time put in, but you have a lot of guys, and Coach Chenander explains that it's really not going to mean a whole lot to him. It will to the players, but just because you're out there for the first snap, who's out there when it's third and seven and time to get a stop? I mean, that's what Chenander's thinking about. Kids want to start. I get it.
There's a few tough decisions, you know, like who's gonna run out first at middle linebacker. I think we got three starters right now, and so to me, I don't really care who runs out. It's the guys care a lot more about who runs out for the first play than I guess I do, because I feel great about the three of them. I feel great about the outside backers. I feel great about those five DBs, and we could get a good mix out there. And there's a lot of more ors in there than I think were listed. You know, Ben Stilley is an or with any position on the defensive line. He's a starter. So I feel good that you have those ors and you have guys that you can feel like your starters. I guess the hard decision is who walks out for the first snap. And then, like I said, it's those kids probably makes a lot more difference than it does to me, because I just see like we got depth and we can roll in.
They got depth. It'll be good. Saturday's almost here. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
We meant to get to this a little earlier, but more thoughts on kind of the fallout from Andrew Luck. You have current and former players speaking out, but two big names, Aaron Rodgers and the Gronk. The Gronk is promoting CBD with a bunch of folks, and we'll hear from him in a moment. Reminder, we're at the Graduate Friday 4 to 6. Roadshow Friday with Hail Varsity Radio, the long drive competition. Get signed up now to be one of 10 that participate in the long drive competition down at the Graduate, down in the Haymarket. That is awesome. The Graduate's a fun spot. We were there last year, myself, Jay Moore, and we want to see you down there. Your chance to win Nebraska, South Alabama tickets. Got to be there, get entered in, and win. Also, pep rally going on with our friends in the rail yard, and Hail Varsity is going to be throwing that. What's cool is you've got a chance to hang out with the Cornhusker Marching Band at 6 and 7:15. It's very family-friendly. Bring the kids down. Plenty of games going on, and then the man, the myth, the legend, Jordan Burrow is going to be down there. So a chance to send him off. Of course, DJ is going to be there. Not a DJ that I know. Or you know, not like, you know, David Justice DJ, but someone cranking out good tunes. You want to be down at the rail yard. I sounded old there. Colton's shaking his head, very sad. Oh, I'm sorry about that. But yeah, Jordan Burrow's going to be there. Team Jack, your chance to donate with the folks at Team Jack. So, and plenty of games. When I say games, Giant Pong will be going on. That sounds incredible. Someday we may have a game of 500 down there. That would be fun. But your Friday night's mapped out. Pep rally Friday after we see at the graduate 4-6 with Hale Varsity. Okay, so Gronk is a guy that when I think of Gronk, I think of Gronk being, you know, 10 or 11 years old and Gronk trying to do a skateboarding trick off the roof of his home. Okay, falling and hitting and hurting himself and then like begrudgingly wiping tears. I don't look at Gronk as an overly emotional guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he gets like super hyped up.
Passionate,
but yeah, not emotional.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference. Well, just play all of them here. This was Gronk, and you may have seen it or checked it out on social media, but Gronk was commending Andrew Luck and his decision to step away. And Gronky Kong got real because he also, I mean, he stepped away after the Super Bowl. The guy is, you know, right after the Super Bowl, he slept like 20 minutes because he jacked his quad.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a severe quad injury. And you know how big and strong and fast he is. You know where the quad muscle's at. That happens. It pretty much screws your career, to be honest with you. It's a hard comeback. You have internal bleeding. It doesn't heal real well.
Mm-hmm.
So he wasn't the Gronk that he wanted to be. Gronk's also probably not able to go through airport security very well because he's got steel plates in his feet and in his arm.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that guy's been injured a lot, but he's also sold out. And he wasn't in a good spot. Here is Gronk being pretty real today.
Patriot fans, I love all my fans. I love Patriot fans. And wherever I go, Patriot fans always ask, am I coming back? When I'm coming back? Where am I coming back? I'm walking across the street and they're like, you're walking because you're coming back. It's crazy. I understand. I feel that love. But I want to be clear to my fans. I needed to recover. I was not in a good place.
So you kind of hear towards the end of his statement there to his fans, look, man, I was suffering. I was depressed. I was beaten down, more from Gronk.
Football was bringing me down, and I didn't like it. And I was losing that joy in life, like the joy. I'm sorry right now, but I really was, and I was fighting through it. And I knew what I signed up for, and I knew what I was fighting through. And I knew I just have to fix myself.
I mean, that guy lost it momentarily because he was so frustrated because he was hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't just that I'm frustrated, I'm hurt, I can't play at the level I want to play at. That's an ego pride thing that we all get. If we want to do something to the best of our ability and you can't do it, you feel ashamed even though you shouldn't. Because you're trying, but there's a certain level you expect if you want to be awesome at something. And he wasn't able to give that because he was hurt, first of all, but just from a quality of life. And that's this is a tipping point moment when you have a guy like Andrew Luck step away. Gronk's kind of a party boy, so the fact that he retired early, the position he played, he's not as outspoken, nor is he seen as cerebral as Andrew Luck. You just don't look at Gronk and take him too seriously, right? I mean, you're wondering where the two strippers and the bottle of tequila are at with Gronk.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a good time dude. He's a pretty real guy right now as to why he stepped away. More from Gronk, and he is in a good spot because he was struggling mentally.
And I am very satisfied where I am in life now. And I truly believe going through those tough times, 9 years off the field, on the field, has brought me to this point. And I believe I'm on the right path in my life.
Good for him, man. And he needed to step away. I think he still loves the game. I think Andrew Luck still loves the game. That's what's so heart-wrenching if you're a fan, where someone's got to step away too early. And that's really a moment, man, where players, how do you find that something else? Because
mm-hmm.
if you're good enough to play at the college or pro level, God love you. And how do you deal with it once it's gone? Can you find something else in life? Yeah, you have family, you have wife, children. Those are all important. But as a competitor, I can only imagine that it's, you're still wired a certain way to go out there and compete and win. I mean, if you're a competitor at all, I mean, you love the joy of it, but guys like Gronk, guys like Andrew Luck, they liked the grind of it. They enjoyed the practice, and not every training camp was awesome. Not all of Belichick's rules were phenomenal, okay? But it hurt him to be in pain. Mm-hmm. And Gronk kind of made the same decision Andrew Luck did. There wasn't breaking news, and there wasn't a bunch of boo-birds. I mean, Gronk went out with another ring. But Gronk left pieces of himself, as did Andrew Luck on the field. And the way Andrew eloquently put it Saturday night, it was absolutely blasted and second-guessed by some. Gronk's wasn't. And Gronk got emotional with the why he did it. He's the last guy I thought I'd see on stage. No, not pimping CBD oil. That's totally up his alley. But he's the last guy I thought I'd see break down in front of people. Good on him for being honest. A couple of thoughts from Aaron Rodgers on this topic. Good stuff today with Blackshirt Cam Taylor, Mitch Sherman, Rick Pizzo. Hail Varsity winds down.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time, and good stuff today. Rick Pizzo, phenomenal. Good to get caught up and go around the Big Ten with him. His thoughts on Nebraska. Blackshirt Cam Taylor with us this hour. Mitch Sherman from The Athletic. And I can log on Hail Varsity, get to iTunes, get the podcast here shortly. Some SoundCloud 2-Minute Drill stuff with some of our interviews. And the one-on-ones with these guys will be posted as well. The ESPN Lincoln On Demand section. Go there. Also check out how you get signed up for the Longest Drive competition out at the Graduate Hotel. That'll be phenomenal. 9th and P is where we're going to be for Friday, a second year at the Graduate. Your chance at Nebraska tickets and to swing away. Jay Moore is not participating, but he will be cheering you on, I think. Unless the ball slips. Then the club goes flying, but come see us 4 to 6. That'll be good on Friday. High school football Thursday for me, Burke and Southeast. Tomorrow on the show, we'll get caught up with Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore. He'll join us, and Brad Edwards going to join us as well with ESPN College Football. Probably a Dr. Petey sighting. I haven't asked him yet, but we'll need to get there. Colton, what do you got going tonight?
I'll be at the paper. Just some midweek high school stuff, and then yeah,
I'm fired up for Burke and Southeast Thursday.
Yeah, football. You know, I don't want to say begrudgingly kicks off for high school, but it is that time of the year. It's going to ramp up, go 100 miles an hour because it's zero or 100. There's not really an in between. But I'm excited for high school football to come back because it's always a good time to listen to, watch, and go see. So.
We were talking about Aaron Rodgers last week when they played in Canada, preseason game, and he rolled in with the Canadian tuxedo, the denim pants, and the jean jacket. But it was cool. It had that furry top to the jean jacket, and he had the shades and the Tom Selleck mustache. I'd totally grow a mustache if I could grow one like his. Haven't tried it, though. But Aaron Rodgers asked after practice yesterday about Andrew Luck, his decision, and pretty telling here from Aaron Rodgers what not to do if he retires abruptly.
I thought it was pretty disgusting. You know, he's making a really tough decision. And even before that, you know, he makes a decision. I don't know why that doesn't stay in-house to kind of protect him a little bit. Although... when I think about it, I thought it would have been, you know, more of a standing ovation type thing and a thank you than boos. But I said it this morning, I 100% respect him immensely for his decision. I salute him for choosing, you know, quality of life. He's a fantastic player.
You know what? A couple of good questions. How the hell did that stay in house? Eventually it had to come out.
Yeah.
And how about cheers versus boos? Some boos are okay. You know, Captain Morgan or Grey Goose. I don't know. Brad Edwards tomorrow. Excited about that. Jay Moore tomorrow. Big thanks to Rick Pizzo, Mitch Sherman, and Husker Cam Taylor. Colton Stone, Chris Schmidt back at you at 4 tomorrow with Hail Varsity. Thanks.